This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Adam Klug on the ones and twos. It's a Friar Friday. We've been promoting it all, actually, for the last 24 hours. Jackson Merrill is here. Finally, to join us, center fielder, all-star center fielder Jackson Merrill, and now the finalist representative for the Padres of the Heart and Hustle Award. Jackson, how is your day, my friend?
You know, my day's going good. You know, sunny day, no clouds out, so it's going really good.
First, the chat has revealed to us that today is your mom's birthday. We wish her a very happy birthday. Today I got a chance to chop it up with Mr. and Mrs. Merrill on the last road trip. Lovely, lovely people. I'm sure they are super excited to be following you around, man. We haven't got a chance to talk on this airway about your season so far. I mean, it's got to have been a pretty cool experience at the big league level for you in 2024.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. You know, the guys have made me feel really comfortable, so it's kind of just a really fun season. You know, you're kind of just playing baseball like a little kid, and I think that's really important.
Jackson, Chris here, and you know, I just want to take a second while I have the opportunity for the fans who don't get a chance to talk to you to thank you for the way you've played and for playing the game the right way. I was talking to some people the other night about it. Not only have you had a lot of success and things have gone well for you, but you seem to really respect the game. You have fun playing the game. You don't call a lot of attention to yourself. These are all wonderful characteristics that a lot of us really enjoy watching in your play. And I'm curious, who would you give the most credit to out there for helping you maybe play the game of baseball, quote, the right way?
I think definitely my father, you know, just the way he raised me, maybe not on the baseball field, but, you know, off the field, to be a respectful human being. And then just seeing the game and how it was played before I got here. You know, there's plenty of other players before me that I watched growing up, and, you know, they demonstrated a way to play the game, and that's kind of how I want to keep going. You know, I like swag, I like flair, but, you know, I'm not going to try and draw attention to myself. Always just try and play my game, and hopefully that draws attention to me.
Jackson, I take you back to Korea in the breakfast room, an early morning. Hadn't even really gotten your career started yet, and you and I got a chance to have a conversation. We were talking about hitting. We were talking about your approach. Somewhere down the line in about, I don't know, what was it, June, you started hitting a boatload of home runs. I know from having had the discussion with you, that is not your intent, but what goes through your mind, though, as you get on one of these heaters, and it seemed like you were hitting a home run every other night?
No, I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's just fun, but I think just what we talked about, just staying to that approach and not trying to get too big or not trying to do too much, really helps. You know, I think it'll just come naturally. Homers always come naturally. None of it is really forced. So I know some people got the ability to kind of pick and choose, and some people are power guys, and that's what they do. But for me, I just try to hit line drives, and sometimes they hit line drives just high in the air.
Jackson Merrill is with us, and you know, I think he's the best rookie in the National League. I know a lot of our listeners think that too, Jackson. And I'm curious, you know, do you? I almost think I know the answer to this because of the way you play the game. But is that even remotely important to you? I mean, people talk about Skeens, talk about yourself, and that kind of award. Is it ever even enter your mind?
No, it's World Series or nothing to me. I don't really have any other goals in this game besides winning. So, you know, obviously an award is cool, but it's really nothing compared to winning a World Series. You know, I'd love to do both. That'd be awesome. But
Jackson,
yeah.
Jackson, that clip is going to be clipped quite often. I have a feeling we're going to hear that quite often. I got to ask you a little bit about your transition to center field. You said that you really had only worked in left field at all during the offseason. You get to spring training, you're in center field, and they haven't moved you since. I want to hear your evaluation on how you feel defensively in center field.
For the amount I play, maybe kind of good, but I'm always looking to improve in any way I possibly can. Like spring training, I was supposed to go play left field, you know, and go from there, but I think like 2 weeks in or like a week and a half in, they put me in center and I didn't argue about it. You know, I just kind of went and tried to do a job, and it's what I've been doing since. So, no, definitely ways to get better, and, you know, I want to, but yeah, I think I've been doing a decent job.
Is there any part of you that, you know, wants to eventually get back to the infield, or are you just going to play wherever they put you?
Wherever they put me is wherever they need, you know, I'll do it for them. You know, if it happens to be shortstop again at some point, I'm in. But if it's center field for the rest of my career, then I'm in with that too.
Merrill is with us, Padres rookie outfielder, and as Tony mentioned, all-star outfielder. I've heard many other longtime players who finally get into an all-star game and are walking around a clubhouse for the first time with the likes of maybe a Pujols or whoever it was that they're, you know, that they looked up to in the game, and here you get in your first year to walk in with Bryce Harper and Yelich and Ohtani and everybody else we can name. What was your all-star experience like for you?
No, it was awesome. You know, it was a cool experience. A lot of media, but I guess that's part of it. So, you know, that wasn't too bad. But other than that, it was really cool. I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed, honestly, the selection, like just being honored the most, you know. But playing the game on the field with a bunch of different people from a bunch of different teams, I think that was the best part.
Now, we know you grew up in Maryland, and I imagine going back to the East Coast, at least based on the way you played, it seemed like you had it circled on the calendar. I mean, whether it was Boston, a team that you grew up rooting for, or going back home to Baltimore, which one of those two stands out as the one that you really were looking forward to the most?
I don't really know. Honestly, I never really had a big thought about it. I think the best part for me was trying to play the same game everywhere, you know, not really making too much different in my game, just going and playing like it was a normal baseball game everywhere I went.
Jackson,
I do think that Baltimore was pretty cool to play at.
Yeah, okay, that's your spot. Jackson, we appreciate the time so much. Just one last thing for me. I saw you mention your Mount Rushmore of outfielders. It's an interesting list. I mean, look, Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Mickey Mantle. Fernando Tatis Jr. got in there. First of all, why Fernando? Secondly, you taking any ribbing on the fact that, you know, my partner's dad didn't quite make the Mount Rushmore of outfielders?
Well, I'm throwing him at my Mount Rushmore. I'll give him a DH spot.
There you go.
Fair enough.
But, no, Toddy has been a huge help to me and everything. You know, he's probably the reason why I'm at right now in the outfield and why I've had success, because he's kind of around the same age, one of the closer guys in my age on the team, so he's made me feel real comfortable. And, you know, he's taught me some things here and there and just been let me play freely, so... You know, it's safe to say that I don't really know if I'd be here without him.
Talk about that a little bit before we let you go. I mean, it's not often that a guy your age comes up to the big league level and has a guy close to his age that has, you know, quite a bit of time. That sounds like it made it a little bit more comfortable for you as you got acclimated at the level.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, it's just like to have fun. Having someone that likes to have fun with you, it's special.
Well, Jackson, listen, man, we know you got to get to work. Keep up the good work, man. Continued health. Thank you for your time today, and we'll talk later.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
Boom. Jackson Merrill there on Friar Friday. I think you get a chance to understand why this organization loves this dude so much and really is excited about a guy that is going to be a homegrown guy.
I wonder how much you've heard what I heard, Tony, going around the league, you know, and meeting with all kinds of other broadcasters and media in other cities. Because that's the thing that I'm most impressed about. Not that he's a good player. There's a lot of good rookie players. But that he does everything the right way. He really does seem to respect the game. He's not a look-at-me guy. But at the same time, he has a lot of fun out there. I mean, he cheers. He's always trying to fire up his teammates. It takes a long time for a lot of major league players to figure all that out. He seems to have a lot of it figured out already.
He has a balance. As he heard him say, he loves swag. I've seen him. He's swagged out. However, there's a balance. And I always, when you ask the question of where did you learn that from, that answer is typically when it comes to people like a Jackson Miller, you usually hear, you know, somewhat of the same answer. You know,
yeah.
My father was the one who kind of implemented that. And he said, not even on the baseball field, just in general. So those are characteristics that, let's remove the uniform and remove, you know, the occupation. And just, you know, walking down the street downtown and, you know, how you treat people at the grocery store, regular walks of life, that stuff applies well. And, you know, it's, I guess it might be somewhat sad that oftentimes we don't assume that those things apply to,
right,
to athletes. But Jackson Merrill, as you heard, that's just a normal upbringing right there, being applied to everyday life.
Yeah. I imagine everybody, because that was the first time I've talked to him, I imagine pretty much everybody around baseball feels the same way I do right now the first time they talk to him, which,
yeah,
is impressed.
Exactly. That's the word. That word that you just mentioned is the word you hear around the league. At least that's what I've heard when I've heard other media markets talk about him. An impressive young man is what you continuously hear.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. That is a really, yeah, good thing. And the kind of season he's having, I knew that he was not going to care about the Rookie of the Year, but it would have been fun if he would have said,
Series
I want to kick Skeens' butt, and I'm upset we're not going to face him next week. But I didn't expect to hear that.
I know that you and I both have Atlanta, Padres, Arizona going in, but it might be something to get a Pittsburgh Pirates to slide into that last spot. You know, then, you know, Padre Pirate joint.
There we
Although
go.
That travel would suck for first round.
Well, you're getting to do it.
Oh, we might get the home series, though, so it might be all right.
You're doing San Diego to Pittsburgh Sunday night, are you not? I know you're excited by that.
I'm not, actually.
Oh, that's right. You're not on the next road trip.
I am not on the next road trip.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Good. That was a good interview. Love catching up with Jackson.
Very good.
Shout out to J.P. Nolan, too, for pulling the strings to get us a Jackson Merrill on this Friar Friday. So let's get to break. We got plenty more show ahead. I've got to get down to listen to Mike Shildt talk. I think Chris has got some sound for Michael King and his update on that ground ball that took his calf out. And you'll get some more Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Traffic.
All right, you know, we do a Friar Friday interview every Friday, but some are just more fun than others. Really enjoyed that with Jackson Merrill. Good to have him on. His debut appearance here on Gwen and Chris went very well. Hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did. And if you're just tuning in and you missed any part of it, you want to hear it, you can always go to our website, 973thefansd.com, or download the Odyssey app. On 973 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits. You can also still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how. Go to T-Mobile.com/switch. Padres Rockies tonight, game one, three-game series. Vasquez tonight for the Padres. The newly acquired Martin Perez tomorrow night for the Padres. And a big old fat question mark for Sunday's game. Right now, Mike Schilt was on earlier with Ben and Woods. Talked about the fact that Michael King, who would probably actually be due to pitch tonight or tomorrow on regular rotation, did suffer an injury. It came in the form of a batted ball that struck his landing leg in his last start against the Baltimore Orioles. Mike Schilt said that he's still feeling some discomfort from that, and they want to make a wait to be sure 100% that King is ready to go before they put him back in the lineup. A little earlier, we actually heard from Michael King himself on this situation. Let's let you in on that now.
Since the last start, it's fine. Swelled up on me a little bit, so it's a little sensitive and kind of a gnarly bruise, but it's good.
Sort of day after or days after?
Yeah, days after. Just feeling like some tightness, a little bit of pain where the swelling is. Just soft, you know. It's got me a little harder than I wanted it to.
What's your understanding of how that affects when you'll next pitch?
We've been taking it day by day. I still don't know full scheduling. It's more of like what I can tolerate that day, and we're moving forward from there. The communication I've had said with them, as in pitching coaches and front office, has been like we have all these off days, so it's, I don't want to say good timing, but like they have people that they can kind of fill in into my place. But whenever I'm ready to go, I'll definitely get the ball.
I'm sorry.
No.
Have you thrown a bullpen with it yet?
No.
Do you know where that is?
Hopefully in the next couple days.
All right, there's Michael King down there at Petco Park a little earlier today. I don't know. I'm just reading between the lines, but I'm thinking that Sunday is looking a little more doubtful than anything for Michael King, mostly because he said he hasn't thrown a bullpen. I not so much because of, you know, anything he said about the discomfort he has in his leg, but I don't, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know what goes into all of these decisions. Everybody knows more than, and I'm sure Michael King knows more than he's even telling us there. But like I said, if he doesn't pitch in this game Sunday, who's going to? And really, I mean, unless you move Waldron up a day, which I guess you could do with a knuckleballer. But honestly, you'd be moving him up 2 days because he's supposed to pitch Tuesday in Pittsburgh. So you'd be moving him up 2 days. But sometimes with a knuckleballer, you can do that. Or, you know, would you go with the newly acquired Brian Hoying as an opener? Something he did a couple of times when he was in Miami earlier this year. We'll find out. But right now, that's a blank spot. Adam Klug is sitting in for Scraby today. Scraby is checking in day two of his family reunion in Iowa. And Adam was upset yesterday. He wasn't upset. I don't think you were really upset, but you said you were. We did a Fantabulous game show yesterday, not a Fantabulous sports game show. The category was geography related rather than sports related. Adam did prevail.
Yes, I did.
Beat Tony Gwynn Jr. in a tiebreaker situation to win your first ever Fantabulous game show.
Should I just retire now?
Yeah, undefeated? You probably should, undefeated.
Never
but Adam
lost.
Said to me, I wanted to show you how much sports knowledge I have. Well, guess who that challenged? That challenged me to come up with some stuff to test Adam's sports knowledge.
Does this fall into the category of be careful what you wish for?
Yes, I think it might. Unless you just, you know, burn through these questions, then it might work out in your favor very much so. But we don't really have time to do this right now, because we have our countdown coming up at the bottom of the hour, and Tony's only got certain times that he can be with us today. So just sit tight. We're going to have some fun with trivia a little bit later in the program.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Yes. In the meantime,
Could I before you move on, can I offer a thought on Michael King?
Of course.
We talk about, you know, you think he might be doubtful for Sunday. We obviously don't know, but I'm not saying I'm happy this happened or it's a good thing this happened. I'm not saying that. But there are concerns about the innings pitched totals for Michael King transitioning from the bullpen to his first season as a starter. And just might this be an opportunity to potentially limit some of his innings right now in the near term so that he's ready to go late in the season and in the playoffs?
I don't think there's any question about it. As a matter of fact, I think that more than the fact that he got hit with a line drive on the leg might explain why, you know, he hasn't pitched since then. You know, I totally believe that. Tyler Glasnow went on the disabled list for the Dodgers right around the All-Star break with a strained back.
Playing catch with his kid or something?
Playing catch with his kid, supposedly. I mean, a major league ball player hurt his back throwing a catch with his kid. I find that a little hard to believe. But, you know, Glasnow's back. He's healthy. He looked just fine the other night. But the Dodgers, you know, wanted to limit him. Glasnow's never pitched this many innings in a season. And you just said it. Michael King, 104 is his career high coming into this year. This year he's already at 124. That's if he doesn't throw another pitch. So I think that definitely has something to do with it. Yeah, with all these days off, you had Monday off, you have Thursday off, you're going to have next Monday off. You hopefully can work it where he misses one or two turns in the rotation. That saves a whole lot.
Again, I want to be clear, not saying I'm happy that this happened,
right.
But just view it as an opportunity.
That's right, and I think that's what the Padres are viewing it as. Yeah. I think that they'd like to win, you know, game one and two of this series. Of course they would, but, you know, hopefully just be able to maybe get through with the bullpen day and opener on Sunday and give everybody an extra day.
It almost kind of relates to the discussion, the conversations we had about Solano playing against lefties over Jake yesterday, and today Arise is on the bench and Solano's playing with Jake playing also against the lefty, and it's not so much that Arise and Cronenworth should never play against lefties and Solano should always start over them, but it's more of the thing that nobody starts every single day, so you can be strategic about when you give Jake and Arise their days off. You do it against a lefty and you've got Solano.
Yeah. I mean, Solano's like an automatic at least two hits tonight, right, against the lefty. I mean, that's what he's been doing all season long. And Arise has been, you know, battling that wrist injury. So, you know, he gets a night off tonight. It's nice to have that that ability if you're the Padres. And Mike Schilte is, you know, going to take advantage of that. So, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tony rejoins us. We have I think it turned into kind of a fun countdown. Today we'll let you know what it is, and we'll share it with you when Gwynn and Chris comes back. If you love Mediterranean cuisine, like I do, the best Greek food. Authentic. Try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean. Coronado, La Jolla. Also, if you're on your way out to the game, Petco Park. Got a Spiro's right there. third base line, main concourse near the Western Metal Supply Building. For more info, dining takeout options, visit SpirosCuisine.com. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., who's down at Petco Park, Adam Klug, sitting in for the vacationing, Mr. Scraby. Time for a check of traffic, and then today's a little bit off-kilter countdown.
Sorry, I'm going to jump in here. Since we broke a little early, traffic is not ready, so...
We'll go right to the countdown then. Did it come in?
Traffic just came in, people!
A little behind the scenes for everybody there.
It's now time for Gwynn and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Most every Friday, we pick a topic. We count down our top five favorites in that category. And Adam is going to jump in here today with Scraby out and join us in counting down our topic today. Lucky for you guys that last weekend, while I was on my little mini vacation to Big Sur, we played the loudest, most annoying sounding board game in the history of board games. If you've ever played it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's called Scattergories. Nothing? You guys have never heard of it?
Well, I have heard of it.
All right, you've heard of it. But if you've ever played it, it comes with a timer because you have a certain amount of time to jot down your answers in the category. And the timer is like a TikTok. I mean, it's... Drove me crazy.
It drove you
nuts, basically.
I
thought you were going to say when you said it was the loudest.
It was so loud. It was so annoying. So anyway, as that is not going to make my list, but our category today is the top five board games. Games that are not as loud, hopefully.
And I've got a loud game on my list.
You do have a loud game on your list. All right, well, let's see what we come up with here. Our top five board games.
Number five.
Since it's my category, I'll start off today, and I'm going to open up with an oldie but a goodie. They actually have national championships in this game. Some people are legendary and amazing at this game. I've never quite been that good, but I think I'm okay at it. It's called Scrabble. Scrabble. I don't know if anybody's, you know, it seems like it's probably not as popular now as it once was. Get the seven tiles, you try to create words, and you want to hit the double word score and the triple word score. I do have one hint for anybody out there that's going to be playing Scrabble anytime soon, which is probably like three of you. If you get an S, don't use it in a word. Use it at the end of another word to make your word so that you get counted for both words. That make any sense to anybody?
Yep, that makes sense. That's good. That's good.
S's. There's only four S's in the game. I've always felt that S's in Scattergory are the most important letter to get. You want to draw? You want to get S's? Anyway, that's
like
my.
That.
All right, little Scrabble help. You didn't expect to get that, did you, Adam?
No, definitely not.
Who's going second?
You go, Tony.
How about the Game of Life?
Oh, I love that one.
Love one of my favorites. Game of Life. I never won that game. I got beat consistently in life.
Well, it's okay. You've won the real Game of Life, Tony. So that's all that matters.
That's true.
And it had it had the fun little spinner thing to tell you how many squares you got to move ahead.
Yeah, to constantly tell people to stop spinning it so hard so it wouldn't come up off its track.
Life was a fun game.
Life was a good game, yeah.
All right. I actually played a game of that as recent as like 2 or 3 years ago. For some reason, it popped out, and I kind of enjoyed it. All right, Adam.
I played it recently.
I'm going to preemptively start by naming a game that will not make my top five, even though it's one of the most popular games of all time, and that's Monopoly.
Will not make your top five.
It takes way too long to play, and I recently played it with my kids. you spend way too much money on the properties, and then the rent is like minuscule, and so you lose money on it. So
here's the thing
like,
with
sounds like you don't know how to play Monopoly.
Sounds like you don't. Sounds like it sounds like it may come up again because Tony's list has just started.
I said it was one of the most popular games ever. So I want to
say
out of the way.
I want to just say this: I have never finished a game of Monopoly. Whoever has, you always get tired of it at some point and throw the money into the middle, and you're like, forget it.
I'm going to reach into the Wayback Machine here and play, and I'm going to name a game that I actually haven't played in a really long time. I'm kind of curious if it is really truly a board game, which we discussed before this. Okay. But I'm going to go with Kerplunk.
Kerplunk.
Do you guys remember Kerplunk?
I remember the name Kerplunk, but you're going to have to explain it.
It was like a cylindrical tube with marbles inside, and it had a bunch of red little sticks to go through the tube, and you pull out one stick at a time, and the marbles fall through as you pull more and more.
It's a version of Jenga. Sounds like, no?
Which might appear later.
Oh, you might have that. You seem to like games where...
the type of style of game
get a little nervous when you make that move.
All right, Kerplunk gets a mention today.
Really, just wanted to say Kerplunk.
And you said
number four.
All right, number four for me is going to be another older game, but I think this game changed the way games kind of came out, because I think after this one just about everybody came up with their own version of something like this, but it's a simple old, and it's not going to surprise you guys, Trivial Pursuit. I love Trivial Pursuit. Obviously, I'm very trivial.
Going for the Brainiac game so far.
But after Trivial Pursuit, right, everybody kind of had a board game that had like a wheel or some sort of way you had to cover the board, but Trivial Pursuit was the original. I thought it was great. The only negative for Trivial Pursuit is if you played it a lot, which I happened to do back in the day, you couldn't help but regurgitate the questions. So, there was only a certain amount, you know, eventually.
Trivial Pursuit came in at number 7 for best-selling board games of all time.
Of all time, wow.
All time.
Yeah.
Units Trivial Pursuit sold 100 million plus. Introduced in 1931.
Really?
Oh, no, excuse me. Introduced in 1981.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right, great. That's number four for me. Little Trivial Pursuit.
Number four for me actually came out in 1931, and it was the board game Battleship.
I sunk your battleship.
Battleship.
Tony.
I didn't think I liked that. I didn't think I would like that game when it was first introduced to me as a kid. Mainly because I'd only been playing games like Life and Monopoly, and so but as I got to learn to play it, it's a fun game. I enjoy a good battleship game.
Yeah, you hid your five ships on your board.
That's
right. Person would guess a coordinate, and then you had to give them the bad news for you. You hit
you
me.
Missed.
I'm hit. I'm hit. And then, at the end, the commercial of the kid saying, "You sunk my battleship." It's a classic. All right, Adam, you're number four.
I will go with the game that I referenced earlier that is loud.
Okay.
It'll be Operation.
Operation was loud?
Where you got to pull out the little bones in it, but if you touch the edge...
Yeah, you get shot. You get shocked. I mean, this is a game that...
tweezers.
Yes, and it made noise, but it also gave your arm a little buzz.
Yes, it did.
If you touch the side there.
I forgot about Operation. That's a good one.
How about a game coming out like Operation where the participant could actually get injured? That was kind of tough. Operation was tough, man.
Number three.
All right, number three for me is going to be good old everyday chess.
Ooh.
Maybe I don't know if everybody thought of this as a board game. It wasn't quite the same as one that you bought in the toy store. But I just love a good chess game. I think it's remarkable that you sit there with those 16 pieces and they all move different ways, and every game starts the same, and about 2 minutes into it, all of your plans have been shot to hell because the other guy's doing something you didn't expect, and it's quite the mind game. But I learned a lot about chess, but not enough to be really good at it.
Yeah.
I remember even getting a couple of books on how to play chess, and I started to read it, and I'm like, nah, forget it. I don't like it that much. But, I mean, it's quite amazing what these chess players could do.
Introduced in 1200.
1200?
It's the number one ranked best-selling board game of all time.
Oh, okay. How about the in 1200 it started?
Year 1200.
Yeah, Scraby would give me a hard time for that and say that I was there when the first edition was put out, but I think I was around for the second edition of chess, not quite that long. All right, Tony, number three for you.
Number three for me is Clue. Love me some Clue.
The candlestick in the library.
Mr. White with the candlestick.
Yes.
In the auditorium.
Yes.
Fun game. You know, it took me for the real honest truth about this game is I probably didn't know how to play it, like really know how to play it until I was, you know, older. I was playing it as a kid. I think we kind of just made up our own rules to how to play Clue. So it was reintroduced to me in my college years, and I enjoyed it much better then.
I don't know if it's the only game, but it's certainly one of the games that they made a movie from that game.
They did.
Yeah, back in the day. All right, Colonel Mustard, it's your turn over there.
About to name my third. You've done three. Tony's done three. We haven't had a single repeat, single overlap yet.
Not yet.
Number three, I'm going to go with Connect Four.
Connect Four.
Classic
Connect
game.
Four.
That's
play
a
with
game
my kids
that,
all the time.
Yeah, you stand. The board stands up.
Correct.
And you try to drop the red.
You got the red checkers, the black checkers. You're going to got to try and get four in a row.
It's not easy to do. For some reason.
The key is to try and get three in a row unblocked on either side so that you win no matter what.
Right, so that the person can't defend you.
Can't block you.
Yeah. But my mind never worked well enough to figure out Connect Four. I just didn't.
That came in at number 18 of all time.
Oh, we've got the historical fact checker back there.
Thank you for coming with the knowledge there,
Thank
Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Very
You're
much
welcome.
Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Number two.
All right, number two for me, I'm going to go with Pictionary. Which turned into a television show, but I had a lot of fun with Pictionary. I was a terrible artist and still am. Can't draw anything, but just trying to draw something and have your partner trying to figure out what it is and just... Do you ever know... I don't know if you played Pictionary.
I'm such a terrible drawer. I don't usually play.
Yeah, but I used to play a lot and I enjoyed it, but the go-to move in Pictionary is you draw the object that you're trying to convey. The other person can't figure out what in the world you're drawing, so you get angry. You're not allowed to speak, so you take the pen or pencil and just tap it on the board. No, this is it. This.
What, it's you not don't a, realize what I'm drawing?
Yeah, it's not a frog, and you just keep hitting the paper with your pencil, which obviously doesn't help your partner figure out what it is at all. But no. Pictionary was kind of a fun one, and they did a lot of variations off of that as well.
That came in at 13, by the way, 1985.
We're doing a good job historically on this countdown. Right.
My number two is not on the countdown, but it was a favorite of my father's and that passed on to me. How about a little Yahtzee?
Oh, yeah, good call.
How about a little Yahtzee?
Little Yahtzee. What a game that is.
Adam, are you familiar with Yahtzee?
Vaguely.
Really?
I
only
know,
vaguely
I've
familiar
seen the
with
box.
Yahtzee.
I know it's spelled Y-A-H.
Yes.
Yahtzee.
Yeah, it's, yes. But they, you know what
I don't
they...
I think I've ever played.
Here's the great thing, Tony, and I think you should even pick this up as a stocking stuffer for the kids. They have a handheld computerized Yahtzee that you can get at Target for like $8. And
really?
You can play a million Yahtzee games.
Yeah,
and
forget the kids.
Or even for you. Oh, it's fun. I used to love it, man. You can play it, and it keeps track of everything that you have right on there and the scores and when you, you know, fill a category. And, you can play Yahtzee right there in a handheld computer, our little game there. I'm sure you'll get quite the look at the back of the plane from that one. But it's a recommendation.
It's a little loud.
No, you can play with the sound off.
Okay.
You can play with off and not disturb anybody. Yahtzee. I like it, Tony. Good call.
I have already gone with Kerplunk and Connect Four, and I will continue to push the boundaries of what is considered a board game.
Okay.
And I'll say Jenga.
Jenga. I think
Again,
it's a board
not
game.
Not a board game, but a box that you take out of the box and play with.
I think
family,
they refer to Jenga as a board game.
I got
game.
Jenga as a board game.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's
Jenga,
a board game.
Board
Where's
game.
It ranked, Tony? Is it on the rankings anywhere?
Let me get to the rankings. My fault. My fault, fellas.
Be ready.
I wasn't ready.
Jenga. Are you good at Jenga, Adam?
I'm good at Jenga, and, you know, it brings...
What is the strategy that you... Is there a good strategy there?
Well, certainly start off by knocking out the middle ones as opposed to the side ones.
Okay, right.
And try and leave your opponent with a decision they don't want to make.
Ah, all right. Well, I've seen some
not
people...
Not on the list.
Didn't
not
make the list.
No.
Well, I think Jenga's a really, it's still a popular game. You see it everywhere.
But my number one is absolutely a board game.
All right, number one for me, I'm going to go off the board here because I know that it's not in the list that Tony's putting together. But it's not going to surprise Tony because during the pandemic, what did I do every single night? I went home and played Strat-O-Matic baseball, and thank goodness for it, because that took up 3/4 of our show, it seemed it like, did. The next day.
Where would we have done without Strat-O-Matic?
I don't know what we would have done, man, without me sitting back and playing all these Strat-O-Matic baseball games to pretend something we could talk about. But yeah, I played Strat-O-Matic baseball since college, and I still like to play today. I know Mr. Elston on the midday show is a big-time Strat-O-Matic baseball player. I'm sure that, you know, in this day and age of technology, everybody feels like, you know, the MLB The Show and all of those are the most realistic, and they are in terms of visual. But for sitting down and rolling some dice, Strat-O-Matic is the most real thing to baseball. It always has been. So if you've never played it out there and you're a baseball fan, I think it's something worth trying at least once. Tony, number one for you.
It's Monopoly. I love it.
Yeah, he goes with it.
I love Monopoly.
The game I ranted against.
Yeah.
I love the new versions. I love the different versions.
Oh, that's right. You can play a San Diego version of Monopoly where all the streets are San Diego names.
Yeah, they got a like new age one where it's credit cards. I like Monopoly. It is a game that I've never finished. I've never finished Monopoly. Ever.
Never. You always throw the money into the middle of the table
at
some point.
You just get tired, and whoever
you land on Pacific Avenue
wins.
For the 8th time in a row, and you're like, that's it.
That's exactly.
It. I've had it. Let me ask you, when you play Monopoly, Tony, are you a free parking person? Do you put money in the free parking?
Absolutely.
All the money from chance and community chest has to go on the free parking square.
I didn't know there's any other way to play.
Okay.
Taxes. All right. Money to the community chest. All that's going into the
park. All goes into the free parking. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. It is a classic, obviously. Probably, is it number one? Where does it rank on the...
It's number one.
Oh, yeah.
No, excuse me. Number three. Actually, chess, checkers, Monopoly. Top three.
In that order.
Yes.
All right, Adam. You're up, number one. This has been a more entertaining category than I expected.
Very diverse group of games. Again, I'm about to name the 15th game. None of them have been repeats. My number one game, the game of Risk. The game of
Risk.
World domination.
That would be you. That would be you.
Taking over the world, baby. Ukraine is weak.
I played maybe one game of Risk
Another
in my life.
Another difficult game to finish.
Really tough to finish. You almost have to leave it out for 3 days and keep coming back to it. But I guess there is something about, you know, collecting your forces along the right borders.
You got to get Kamchatka and protect the United States.
Listen
North
to this
America
guy.
From the Asian invasion.
The Asian invasion.
Kamchatka.
Risk. What do you
that is
what
funny.
Do you how do you get control
I've
of stuff in Risk?
I've never even heard of Risk.
Really? You never heard of it? Yeah.
Never
how
heard
do you
of it.
What do you do? I mean, I know what your goal is to take over the world, but how do you go about doing that?
You acquire and lose figurines and you place them in all the different countries on the board, and then there's an attacker and a defender. So if you own a piece of the land and someone else is trying to overtake it, you roll dice.
Okay.
And the attacker gets 3 dice and the defender gets 2 dice, I believe, and you roll them, and then the two highest numbers of the offender, the attacker, go against the only 2 rolls of the defender.
And whoever wins that takes over the area?
If the 2 highest of the attacker are higher than both, then they lose 2 guys, and if the defender is higher, then the attacker loses guys, and then if you can knock out all the defenders, you get to invade their land.
Beautiful. Adam Klug, people. Didn't know you were a warlike guy, Adam, but now we know. All right.
Didn't figure me for a guy of world domination.
World domination. Yeah. You've done a good job taking over San Diego. We appreciate it here on
Speak to It.
97.3 The Fan. There was our countdown. Hope you kind of had some fun with that. More Gwen and Chris is coming up, including a chance for you to play some trivia. Chris versus the fans. You could go to Las Vegas, but you got to call in to play. 833-288-0973. It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.